Okay, we are back. You are listening to Floor Radio. I'm Dave Foster. We're going to look at the market yesterday, and what a story that was. Mike Barker's on the line with us. He's with Investment and Retirement Management. He's a chartered retirement planning counselor. He's a certified fund specialist offering securities through Linsco Private Ledger, member of NASD and SIPC. Good morning, Mike. How are you?
Dave, good morning. I'm good. How are you?
I'm wondering, after a day like yesterday, how guys in your business even survive. What a day.
Well, yesterday was, you know me, I'm the last one to get into all this hoopla and over make it, getting too excited about ups and downs and all that. But no question about it, yesterday was one for the books. It was a pretty interesting day, and we've had, as everyone knows, we've had an interesting last two or three weeks. But yesterday was the icing on the cake, at least at this point.
Well, it was down, at one point, I think 341 points. The Dow ended off only 15 points. And at one point, just before the close, I think it was actually up.
That's right.
Which was amazing. Now, I guess at one point yesterday, the Dow, the NASDAQ, and the S&P 500 were all down by 10% from their July highs. I guess that, I don't know whether that's a correction by the definition or not.
Well, it is by the definition. Whether it's all that relevant or not is another discussion. But the typical definition of a correction, you are correct. We've had that now.
Now, when we talked 3 weeks ago, you were saying to prepare for some volatility. We've seen that in spades, there's no question. I think at some point, not so long ago, we saw the Dow hitting 14. As you've always said, occurrences like that are pretty much meaningless. The volatility, especially yesterday, was mind-boggling. It seems like we can only barely remember the 14,000 level at this point. Is this going to continue, do you think?
Yes.
You don't want to think about
it.
You know, explain something to me. It seems to me very curious, and we're all aware of the credit situation, and we've read that hundreds of times at this point. How can it be down, how can the Dow, say, be down by 341 points at one point and then actually be up a couple of hours later? It would seem like conditions haven't changed to cause something like that to happen.
Yeah, what changed in 2 hours, that kind of thing, right. Yeah, it's a good question. And the thing about yesterday is, and of course a lot of folks are asking, when is this going to be over, has the market bottomed, all those sorts of questions, and the only way to answer that is to look for things that you typically would see at a bottom. And as I always tell folks, you don't know when the market tops necessarily, and you don't know when it bottoms until you look backwards, and then you know. Obviously, though, as it's happening, you look for certain characteristics that would indicate such. And yesterday's, let's back up. When the Dow was at 14,000, less than a month ago, by the way, as hard as that is to believe, you and I were talking, and you just mentioned the Dow being at 14,000, and I made a comment that it doesn't mean anything. It's meaningless. It's just a number, and the media's going to get all excited, and a lot of folks are going to think it's party time and all that. And if you remember, I made the comment that when we get those type events in the market, we first think and first ask the question, should I be doing some selling right now? And that's totally counter to what most people would do and what the media typically does. Most folks won't get all excited, and if they don't have all the money in the market, put it all in the market, and then you get what we've gotten the last 3 weeks. You don't get it every time, of course, but you just want to be careful. Now we have, in my opinion, the exact opposite of that. There's no euphoria out there. There's some panic out there, especially yesterday. There are a lot of folks scared out there. There are and Dave, I can't really get into everything going on out there in the financial markets because we'd have to spend 30 minutes explaining what it is I'm talking about. So I won't get into all that. If folks really are into that, they really just have to call me, and we can talk about it in some detail.
Mike, let me jump in here. We need to take a short break. Mike Barker is with us this morning from Investment and Retirement Management. We're going to be right back. Stay with us. This is Floor Radio. This is Floor Radio, and I'm Dave Foster. Mike Barker is with us this morning from Investment and Retirement Management. Mike, again, just getting back to the volatility yesterday, most interesting day. Talk a bit more about some of the causes.
The bottom line is, yesterday and what we've had the last few days is in many ways the opposite of Dow 14,000. And what I mean is, you have, in my opinion, especially yesterday and the last couple of days, I think you've had what we call forced selling. And just a situation where, for example, in hedge funds, there's been a lot of problem in hedge funds the last few weeks. I guess the biggest high-profile problems were around the Bear Stearns hedge funds. And the reason I get into that is this all started with a credit crisis. And it has to do with the housing situation, subprime mortgages, Alt-A mortgages. We've talked about that for months now. And it's hitting the fan. That's what's happening now. It's finally hitting the fan. And this is what you get. And more specific to yesterday, to answer your question, I think yesterday, right after lunchtime, that was as brutal and panicky selling as I've seen in a long time. And when you get that, it doesn't mean necessarily the market has bottomed, but at some point you reach a point where the selling just absolutely exhausts itself. And everyone who has to sell or who wants to sell or reaches a point that they just can't take it anymore, so to speak, those people sell. And theoretically, when the last person that needs to do that does it, that's your bottom. And then you next thing you know, we rally over 350 points off that low yesterday in the Dow. Gave back just a tad of that at the close, as you mentioned. But that's just one example of what you look for to maybe get a sense that the selling has run its course and you may try to stabilize it. And I think at this point, what we can say about yesterday, and yesterday was decidedly different than the previous days that were kind of ugly. Yesterday was different. And the next couple of 3 days, I think, will be really important to maybe give us a sense if the market's beginning to get its handle around all these problems, and then we'll just go from there.
Now, we've seen markets all over the world reacting to this. Do you suspect, or what sort of reaction would you expect when you wake up Monday to hear from all these other markets around the world?
Well, I think the foreign markets at this point are, as I think they did last night, I think they're looking to us for some sort of sign that maybe things are stabilizing a little bit. And it's a situation where our overnight on Wednesday, the foreign markets were just hammered. I mean, I actually got up that early that morning yesterday around 2 in the morning just to check things, and it was brutal. And what's going on in the global financial systems right now is, you know, we talked for months this year about liquidity and how much money there is floating around the world and how tight spreads were in the bond market. And that's another long conversation that we probably don't need to get into. But we talked about this stuff. And we talked about how housing, in our opinion, was not bottoming and all these mortgages that were going to have to reset and all this stuff, we just had a hard time believing what was going to calmly adjust itself. And it has not, and we're seeing the market adjustment of these issues we've been talking about for a while now. And that's what's going on. This is not necessarily an economic situation. It's not that we've had horrible economic data. Earnings have come in actually better than expected pretty much across the board. It's not the typical things that might lead to a market like this one has been the last 2 or 3 weeks. It's a credit bond market type problem, and you know, back on the foreign markets, I think they are looking to us, looking to our markets, to get some sense of some sort of stability.
Mike, let's pause here. We need to get some messages in. Mike Barker is with us from Investment and Retirement Management. We're going to be right back. This is Floor Radio. Stay with us. Business Floor Radio, and I'm Dave Foster. Mike Barker's with us this morning from Investment and Retirement Management. Mike, what do you think it's going to mean if the market continues to fall? You said you expect volatility to go forward, so whatever is causing this is not yet resolved. How long is this going to go on? What are the factors that keep this going on?
Okay, the first thing is how long can this go on? I can't give you a time frame because we will look for internal technical signals and internal conditions within the market itself to maybe give us hints that this thing's maybe run its course. And yesterday, there were many of those signals, but as I always say, you don't want to overreact to one day's signals. It takes time for the market to show you that it's beginning to get its legs under it again. And I'm not exaggerating there, especially in this cycle. The way the market's been acting the last 2 weeks or so, it's been pretty amazing. And you know, we warn folks to be prepared for some volatility, but I got to tell you, this is a little bit off the chart in a lot of respects, and literally in some respects. So it's hard to get a sense of how much longer. The other thing that makes this difficult, I think, is this is centered predominantly in housing and in mortgage bonds and these CDOs everyone's talking about, collateralized debt obligations and other exotic things that are centered around mortgages and housing and Alt-A and prime and all this stuff. And housing is a slow-moving sector in this country. Housing kind of moves slowly. And as I've mentioned for weeks now, we have not seen the worst in housing, I don't think, and I don't think housing gets better anytime soon. It could be 2 years out before housing gets better, in my opinion. Now, and here's the trick to this, too. At some point, the market will have discounted the worst-case scenario with this housing thing. It doesn't mean that the market is saying that housing won't get worse. It just means that the market's pretty much factored it in, if you follow me there.
Right.
And I think it's too soon to say the market has done that. There are a lot of people out there just saying, you know, what's the next shoe to drop? What's the next piece of bad news we get? And there are all sorts of mortgage lenders that have gone out of business in the last month, and it's been that fast. It has been incredibly fast how this whole thing has hit the fan. And I still think we're going to see some home builders in some financial trouble in the near future. So what I want to see is if we get those things, how does the market react to it? At some point, I think we're going to get some more bad news, and the market is not going to react to it. And when that happens, that'll be the first signs, I think, that the market's pretty much dealt with this and is ready to move on. And one last thing. The other tie, and I'm just scratching the surface here, but the other thing we're monitoring pretty closely is when does the credit market begin trading again? You know, when does it begin to trade somewhat more in a normal fashion? And we're not seeing a whole lot of that just yet. And then finally, I noticed how the financial stocks yesterday at the lows yesterday, the banks, the brokers, these type stocks, they had pretty dramatic up moves off their midday lows yesterday. And if they can begin to build on that, that'll be another sign, perhaps, that the worst of this may be over. So this is a monitoring thing at this point.
Many people are saying they're not expecting the housing market to really start to turn around until 2009, perhaps even later. Are we talking about a wait potentially this long, or will it be somewhere midpoint?
The way I look at that is I consider that a scenario where it doesn't get better anytime soon. And when I say that, I mean at least a year. As far as trying to figure out if it's going to be 2 years or three or whatever, to me, that's not worth analyzing. I think the most important analysis is to try to determine if it's going to be better anytime soon. And I don't think it will.
But the credit market will settle down in the meantime, though.
And that's going to be the key. And like I said, at some point, and you know how markets are, they tend to overshoot on the upside and overshoot on the downside. And was yesterday the overshoot? You know, was yesterday around midday when the Dow was down 340 or so, Was that the overshoot? And that's the question. And we won't know that for a period of time. But I will say this. Yesterday is the way the market acted late in the day yesterday with that bounce, especially with it not being tied to any specific news item that was positive. That's the best thing I've seen it from this market since this whole mess started.
I see.
And what it needs to do now is build on it to some degree.
Mike, let's take a break here. Mike Barker's with us this morning. We're talking about the market. Mike, of course, is a regular on this program. He's with Investment and Retirement Management. We're going to be right back. Stay with us. You're listening to Floor Radio. This is Floor Radio, and I'm Dave Foster. Mike Barker's with us this morning from Investment and Retirement Management. Mike, you were talking about the dynamics, as in yesterday, when the market finally hits bottom and starts back up again. And as you mentioned, the last person that had to sell and get out, when that happened, it started going back up again, and people said, hey, wow, this is a pretty good deal. I'm buying this. Is that
yeah, and that's the theoretical thought process behind bottoms.
Yeah.
And the way I describe it to people is, you know, everyone has what I call their uncle point. Everyone has a point when it comes to the stock market where they say, that's it, I cannot take it anymore.
Right.
And theoretically, when the last person reaches the point that they cannot take it anymore and they have to get out, that's your bottom. And that's how the process works. You know, you have some people, just the least little bit of dip, they get nervous and they need to sell. And then it continues to drop. And other people who thought that it was going to bounce right back up, they start wondering about it. And then they sell. And it's just a process. And yesterday was as panicky as I've seen in a while. And the bounce back was encouraging. And in this type of environment, you don't want to get too excited over one day. But what I'll leave it at is, yesterday, for about a three-hour period, was about as constructive as I've seen since this started.
I see. So then today, you're going to be watching closely what exactly?
Yeah, the trick to this to today, and even this week as far as that goes, is this was an option expiration week, or is an option expiration week, and that can make for some pretty wild moves either way. And in this type of environment, it's tough to get a sense of what the effect of the option expiration was on the market. So, I mean, for me today, if we could just get a stable situation, and looking at the futures, that's worthless too this morning, because you don't know how we're going to end up. And the thing about today also is we had, I forget what the number was, but we had something like 10 or 12 Fridays in a row earlier in the year where the market went up, and that was an historical type statistic. And then here recently, it's difficult for the market to get anything positive on a Friday for all kind of reasons I won't get into, but that's another little tidbit that would give us another sign that maybe this market's beginning to change its character a little bit and stabilize as well. So if today can be a constructive day, it could also be another good sign.
I see. Now, we saw yesterday morning some negative housing numbers come out from the Commerce Department. Housing starts were off over 6%. Was that what set this off in the first place?
No,
do you think?
No. I don't think that had anything to do yesterday.
Okay.
And reason being, I don't think that's a surprise let me back up. I don't think it should be a surprise to anybody. And incidentally, that's what we need to see. We need to see housing starts really start slowing down, because if they don't, all you're going to have is a greater inventory problem. So that's really what you want to see here in the short term, I think. And the other thing too about housing, we actually have more subprime. Oh, I shouldn't say subprime. We actually have more adjustable rate mortgage resets coming this year and into next year, larger than what we've seen so far. So I'm already hearing a lot of folks talking about how, you know, they think we may have run the course and maybe things are as bad as they'll get with all these mortgage resets. I don't know what they're looking at, because we've got more of that. Excuse me, Dave. We've got more of that coming than what we've seen so far.
Mm-hmm. Does everybody pretty much agree that we've not hit the bottom yet, even maybe the National Association of Realtors?
In housing?
Yes.
As far as I know, they agree finally.
It took them a while. They should listen to you.
Well, I won't comment on that. But it's amazing to me the number of folks that people are listening to for the last several months as far as predicting housing. There are just some folks that you just don't need to listen to as far as trying to figure out what's coming in the future.
Well, it really separates the men from the boys. You see who is the cheerleader, and you see who is the meaningful prognosticator, I guess.
Well, I think what people have to do, and I won't get into names or specifics here, but what you have to do, I'm in the business of what is going to be. We have to try to figure out what is coming. And unfortunately, too many other entities out there, they are either in the business of telling you what has already happened or telling you how things currently are. And I'm not saying none of that's valuable, but they aren't real good at predicting what's coming. And sometimes they bleed into that, and they probably need to just stick to reporting statistics and not giving a whole lot of opinions on those statistics, if you follow me there.
Yes. Mike, we need to pause here. Mike Barker's with us this morning from Investment and Retirement Management. We're going to be right back. Stay with us. You're listening to Floor Radio. This is Floor Radio, and I'm Dave Foster. Mike Barker's with us this morning from Investment and Retirement Management. The Fed, they put billions, I guess, of dollars into the system over the last few days, as did other central banks around the world, I guess.
Right.
You mentioned a couple of weeks ago that, I guess, a cut you thought at that point was off the table for at least the rest of this year. How are you leaning now? Does all this change anything?
Well, what I said last time we talked, and I've said for months now, is that I think the Fed's pretty much off the table for the year.
Uh-huh.
And don't get me wrong, the Fed's been doing a lot the last few days, but they haven't been formally lowering or raising interest rates. And that's what I'm talking about. And then I also said if I was forced to lean one way or the other, I said I would have to lean towards a cut. And, of course, that was before all this happened. So I think now anyone who was leaning for a rate increase, I think they're also in a rate cut camp, so to speak. Do I think they'll cut rates soon? I don't think so. I think what they are trying to do is do these liquidity injections into the system, and you are correct, it has been billions and billions and billions of dollars the last few days. And I think what they're doing there, some people are saying that those are what they characterized as synthetic rate cuts, and I don't agree with that. I think all these are is they're just trying to get the market back to equilibrium. And I think that's all they're trying to do. And I think what they'll do is let this run its course for a while to see what effect this has, and then go from there. Now, if things get a lot worse, I noticed the Philly Fed number came out yesterday, and it was zero. The estimates were for 8.0, and it came in at zero. So those are the slowdown signs that I think the Fed will be watching. But I think, at least the way they seem to be operating, I think they'll want to see a little more in the way of problems and slowdown before they, pull the rate cuts out of the bag.
Mm-hmm. Well, there were some interesting comments this week. The Secretary of the Treasury, Paulson, said that, you know, he thought that the market was strong and the global market was strong and they'd absorb the losses. And I guess the president of the St. Louis Fed, a fellow named William Poole, said that he didn't think the Fed needed to ride to the rescue to bring a rate cut about. But it didn't sound, I mean, he sounded kind of tentative on that. Do you think do you think there's a lot more of these Federal Reserve or at least people that are on the Federal Open Market Committee are leaning towards a cut?
I don't know, and the reason I don't know is I don't really listen to these guys that much. That comes from years of experience. I mean, Poole, for example, made a comment yesterday, something along the lines of that the Fed would stand pat as far as interest rates unless we get a calamity.
Right.
Here's the problem with that statement. If they do cut rates, does that mean that he is saying we are in a calamity? So, you know, I don't know about that statement. That's interesting. He also said that I'm not quoting, but along the lines of saying that the subprime mortgage route doesn't really threaten economic growth, and I disagree with that totally. How bad it'll get, and you know, that sort of thing, time will tell. But there is no question in my mind that the crunch we've seen in credit markets the last several days is a result of what is going on in housing and subprime mortgages and the stress in the system from these mortgage bonds and these mortgage financial instruments. And if it were to get much worse, it would greatly slow down business activity, in my opinion, and it could definitely be an issue. So I don't know if he's saying that he doesn't think it will become a problem, or if he is saying it's not a problem, or exactly what he's getting at there. So I don't know exactly how to respond to that. But the other thing that's interesting, I continue to hear a lot of these folks talk about that this is contained. They're still saying it's contained. And we chuckled about that a month or so ago, and I think we've seen nothing but evidence that it's not contained. Unless you want to say it's contained to the world. I mean, it has spread to problems in other markets, not just ours, and it has really caused disruptions in the credit markets, and I don't know what they mean by contained.
Well, I guess it depends on what the definition is of contained.
I guess
maybe
so.
Maybe their definition of contained is looser than yours or my definition, perhaps.
I guess so. I don't know. I just don't quite know where some of these folks are coming from. And what's interesting about that, I was talking to a guy the other day, and he said, well, is it that big of a deal whether they think it's contained and it's not or whatever? Well, it is to me, because the thing that concerns me about the Fed is they're notoriously late with some of this stuff. It's almost like, well, it's like you said, we'll stand pat unless we get a calamity. It might be an idea to maybe be a little more proactive, and if they think things are setting up that could cause such a problem, do something to maybe preempt that.
Right.
And maybe that's what they are doing in their minds with a lot of these liquidity injections. Maybe that's, you know, the first step to that. So anyway, that's just, you know, some general comments, and those will be any of these Fed comments, and of course the meeting next month will get all sorts of attention.
Uh-huh. Mike, I need to jump in here one more time. It's time to take a short break. Mike Barker is with us this morning from Investment and Retirement Management. We're going to be right back. Stay with us. This is Floor Radio. This is Floor Radio. I'm Dave Foster. Mike Barker's with us this morning from Investment and Retirement Management. Will these developments that are taking place in the market now and that we've seen over the past several weeks, are they going to make the housing slump last even longer?
Well, possibly. I think it's a chicken-egg thing at this point. I think, you know, I always tell folks, make sure you separate symptoms from problems. And right now, the problem is the lax lending that has gone on for a few years now. Folks clearly have gotten mortgages that probably shouldn't have been in those type mortgages. I saw an article the other day where a family with income of something like $90,000 a year had bought a $500,000 home. I don't know how you make that work. I don't get that. So, and some folks are realizing it doesn't work. And what is going on lately in the credit markets, I think, is a result of a lot of what's going on in housing that went on that probably should have never happened in the first place. And it's unwinding. We're just seeing an unwinding of a lot of what we're talking about here. And a lot of entities all over the world now are getting more liquid. They're unwinding leverage, and they're doing what we call repricing risk. And that's not a pretty process. And we're seeing it here the last couple of 3 weeks. And what's going on in the stock market, I think, is one, a concern about whether these housing issues will ultimately have a negative impact on the economy. And then number two, I think it's a lot of this forced selling issue. When a lot of entities are in trouble because of what's going on in the credit markets, it creates angst and nervousness in the equity markets and about any financial market, and it bleeds over, and then you have the forced selling as people need to raise cash to meet margin calls, liquidity needs, or whatever, and it just snowballs, and that's what we're dealing with.
I gotcha. Let me ask you a question about gas prices. They seem to be moving down, although they were down quite a bit at one point yesterday, if I'm not mistaken. In fact, everything looked like it was down, not only the stock market. But anyway,
yeah.
You had said you expect that gas would be coming down. It has. Where do we go from here, do you think, in terms of gas prices?
Well, crude oil yesterday was down about $2.30 when the electronic trading closed. It was down right at $3 at one point yesterday, right at the 71 level, I think, at the close. And, of course, there's a hurricane out there. A lot of folks are talking about and monitoring and all that. We're in that season now. So, I don't know. That's hard to predict. But I still maintain, absent any sort of major weather disruption, and crude oil's come down a lot like we had thought. Gas prices and crude oil, it took a while for that to start coming down when we talked about it a while back. But that has started now. And I think that'll continue unless we get this hurricane disruption type stuff. So absent that, I still would not be surprised to see gas continue to come down and crude oil as well.
I see. Now, there's a lot of investors out there that are probably panicky, I suspect, or very tense at the minimum. What do you tell them at this point in time?
Well, I can't speak to that specifically because everyone is unique in their own situation. But what maybe to put some broad perspective on that, the first thing is when we talk about when the Dow was at 14,000, and we've done this over the years, when the market's up big and it has these big moves or these record moves or whatever you want to call it, we continue to try to stress to folks, if nothing else, have a discussion about should you do some selling, should you take a little money off the table or what have you. People tend to do the opposite. In a scenario like we're having now, you want to kind of get your ducks in a row to maybe start allocating some money to the market. As we call it in our firm, we start making a list. We start looking at the areas and the stocks or the funds or whatever that we want to begin to allocate money to, and we try to get our ducks in a row. It never serves to get emotional, euphoric on up moves, panic on down moves. That tends to not work too well. And, of course, some down moves you want to sell before it gets worse, and there's all sorts of ways we try to monitor that. So that's kind of the perspective people need to take. Secondly, your time frame is critical. Time frame is key on these kind of decisions. Someone that's retired or has been retired for a while, they have a totally different set of decisions they need to consider compared to someone young, just starting their working career, putting money in their 401k regularly, all that sort of stuff. And then someone a few years from retirement, they have another set of decisions to make as well. So the point there is, and I see this a lot, especially in companies, an employee will ask their boss, you know, how are they investing in their 401k or what are they doing and that sort of thing. Those two people might not have the same scenario. So just keep that in mind as well.
I got you. Well, Mike, that's a good place to leave it, and who knows what's going to be happening over the course of next week, but I hope we can get you back here to explain whatever it is.
Yeah, you just let me know anytime.
You got it. Mike, thanks very much.
Okay, talk to you later.
We've been talking with Mike Barker from Investment and Retirement Management, and you're listening to Floor Radio.